The freedom of the all-inclusive resort-style living awaits at Anna Maria Creekside. They're the leader in affordable month-to-month retirement living. For a complimentary tour and meal, call Anna Maria Creekside, 774-1822. 774-1822.
On the program right now, Stan Deo joins me. Stan Deo from, StanDeo.com from Colorado, kind of keeping an eye on things. Stan, what's the best way to describe you? I know you're an author, you're a publisher, you have a great website. Do a lot on preparedness. Is there anything I'm missing here, too?
Oh, that'll probably do for what we're going to talk about today. I mean, I've written on subjects like the cover-up and the UFO propulsion, anti-gravity thing, and how I was recruited to work on that many years ago under Dr. Edward Teller. I think that was probably one of the claims to fame in the past. And also developed a method of analyzing naval data for sea surface temperatures so that you could forecast serious earthquakes along the borders of continents to oceans. I can't do that any longer because the naval data in 2006 was removed from our access, our public access anyway. So it was very, very good. We could predict 70% of the quakes within 1 to 7 days ahead of time.
Now, do we have one coming to Oregon anytime soon?
Don't know. Wish I had the data.
Oh, okay. Stan, wanted to chat with you about a posting that that caught my eye the other day about the Major Hassan event.
And guided stealth weapon?
Yeah, the guided. You talk about Major Hassan being a guided stealth weapon aimed at America. I thought that was a very interesting kind of sort of counterintuitive sort of way of painting that. How do you see that playing out in the United States?
Well, look, I don't know that there were any, like, American handlers. I do know that he was trained by one of the imams that was in favor of, terrorist activity in the United States.
Doesn't it strike you as strange that we would have intelligence agencies that knew about this, and yet nothing appears to have been done? Well, he wasn't going to... He wasn't in any danger of making an imminent attack. So, in other words, unless he was found, I guess, with a suicide belt or whatever it is, when everything's okay, just let him work in the military. No problem. Nothing to look at here.
Well, Bill, you know, when you stand back and look at it, there are similarities between Oswald saying he was a patsy and this guy here. He's not saying anything except that that he was a Muslim. And he didn't want to go over to Afghanistan or Iraq anywhere on a posting overseas because he didn't want to fight in a Muslim or anti-Muslim war. But to me, it looks like this this fellow was mild-mannered, and Sammy said, you know, they'd never seen any of these hostilities, and he wanders off, to this mosque and gets trained with 40, 50 other guys by this terrorist a teacher that they had there in the mosque. And when you stand back and look at it, he is being a patsy in essence, because he was trained and converted, you know, to this militant action. When the report first came out about the shooting down at Fort Hood, they said that they had two or three people of interest. Now, it got narrowed down to one. You don't know whether the other two were just advisors or friends or people that sympathize with him and maybe egged him on or encouraged him to do the thing.
Now, you see, Stan, that's interesting because I've read numerous stories that were in the mainstream talking about other people being arrested in addition to Major Hassan, and then I can't find any further information about this. It's like they disappeared.
That makes you wonder, doesn't it? I mean, the same thing like with Oswald, there were like supposed to be three shooters, and then he yells, "I'm a patsy," blah, blah, blah. If you look at the results of this action he's done, he's a Muslim, he's an American military man, it is like firing a stealth weapon right into the middle of our army, because now then, of the 4,000 to 10,000 Muslims that we've got in our military service here, all of them are kind of going to be looked at askance by their buddies, you know?
Well, shouldn't they be, though, Stan?
Well,
I mean, I don't like tarring. You know, I don't want to be like Certainly, President Obama says, well, we don't want to jump to conclusions, but at the same time, the president's able to jump to conclusions about, you know, the dumb white police officers.
Yeah.
There is something kind of troubling about this.
Yeah, well Obama certainly already kind of crueled the public trials because you can't get a jury that hasn't been prejudiced by Obama saying that Hassan was the terrorist, he shot everybody, he was guilty publicly.
Mm-hmm.
He's virtually cruel the jury pool, but if he's under military law, we might somewhat get a trial. We don't have to worry about getting a jury.
So you think there's going to be what resentment and mistrust of Muslims? What, unjustifiably so? Is that kind of what I'm hearing from you? Or,
well, look, I've read parts of the Quran, and it definitely says in there to do some really horrific things to infidels. And although technically speaking, Christians who believe and Jews who believe in one God, etc., there's about four or five different tests, should not be called infidels. But they interpret it as though we are if we're not following Muhammad and praying four times a day, you know,
Temecca, I have no intent to start doing that. I don't know about you.
Well, no, I don't either. And I know that there are probably a lot of Muslim adherents in this country that are nice folks and have no thoughts of doing anything bad. They feel like they're Americans, have been raised here, but that's their religion. But if they study their religion in detail, it does suggest that they do kill in very horrible ways Christians and Jews, people of the book, we're called. And it's sad. I know what's happened now. Then it didn't matter whether this guy was put up to it, whether he just decided on his own to do it and shoot these people and start this discrimination. But what's going to happen for sure now is that this stealth shot by him is going to start the ball rolling for religious prejudice, for racial profiling and discrimination. I know that we're going to have revolution in this country on several causes, whether it be economic, between poor and the rich, and the haves and have-nots, whether it be between the black and the Hispanic, and the black and the white supremacists.
Come on, Stan, hold on here. We have President Obama here. That we're in a post-racial America now. Isn't it over?
Oh, yes, Bill. Of course it is. Of course it is. No, look.
I'm teasing, but I'm being...
I know you're teasing.
All right.
And Holly and I went down to visit. We've been asked down a couple times down to the Hopi Nation, to the second Mesa, to the Shungopavi tribe, and where they have shared prophecy with us that we've released to the public, I think most all of it. But the one thing that really caught our attention was that the old man said to me, and Holly, he said, you know, there is a terrible civil war fighting over many things coming to America, and it will destroy America. Americans will fight and tear down each other, and then foreign powers will invade from the Middle East and from the, you know, from Cuba and things like that. They're explaining what direction they were coming from.
This is Hopi prophecy?
Yeah. This is like talking to the guys that reveal it to the tribe, the elderly elders. And, you know, there were other things they told us which about these times coming, which were not exactly pertinent to this discussion, but the one thing that did stand out was that we will fall because our house will become divided and fight amongst ourselves, racial, economic, he went through all the things, and these times are upon us now, and they're not the only ones saying that we would have, civil disorder and then chaos and then invasion. We can't stand against an external enemy if we're fighting amongst ourselves, and so you see right here, I mean, we are going to have Christianity and Judaism against Islam and Islam against those two.
Well, hasn't this been a slow-burning war here for a number of years, Stan?
Sure it has. And when you get the administration in charge of our country taking down In God We Trust, and you can't have prayer, you can't say certain parts of the Pledge of Allegiance and stuff, I mean, you know, we're hit at the top going down, and I suppose if you were a foreign power trying to take over our country, you would start at the top and set the rot in. So all great empires have done that.
Okay, so let's think about this with Hassan, of course, having some serious contact with this radical imam, right?
Right.
So let's take it that. Let's just say that it is what it appears to be at this point. What better way to get the religious strife spun than for them to have a heart or an attack right in the heart of the military, like you just mentioned, right?
Yep.
So then you whip up the religious fervor. In fact, I already have people writing into me, emailing me here, Stan, saying that it's time for the Japanese-style concentration camps. Those of the Muslim faith.
Yeah.
And I was kind of surprised to see that so quickly after this, because I recall the Tea Party folks, and of course I count myself among them, saying, well, hey, you know, what about those concentration camps for the people that are, you know, opposing President Obama? Don't people see what they're asking for right now?
You know, you got to wonder. I think it's happening so quick, and so many people thought, we're Americans. We live in America. It can never happen.
Right. Now, I'm not saying that you allow people to attack you. That's not what I'm saying. You know, it doesn't mean that you put down the sword and just allow expose your throat and allow it to be cut. But on the other hand, it seemed that many Americans took the immediate jump. Okay, we have a terrorist within the U.S. military. Military, or at least an intelligence agency, knew something about him but chose to do nothing. And then we have a radical imam then apparently influencing him. This is what it appears to be right now, to commit these atrocities.
Well, now, Bill, look at it.
What better way to start the fall of the empire?
Absolutely. And if you look at it, our people highly placed in our military and the FBI and other areas of government, that intelligence agency, they had their eye on him for over a year and a half. They let him go through as though they want to stir up this thing, drive us to martial law, and increase the control they have over the average person. But they're not going to be able to hold it. And so what's going to happen is America will fall. But you can see that they let him through. The guy's a psychiatrist, for crying out loud. He had 50 other Muslims there that he could advise and did advise at Fort Hood, influence one-on-one if he wanted to. So I think that someone up there is looking to stir up those of us that would stand up and say, hey, this isn't right. Let's do something. And, you know, I'm sure that some of us out there will probably do things that are illegal and hurt folks, and we'll see the Islamic community hurt back, and then there will be this call for martial law. And under martial law, they can do anything they want to us, you know?
You see, that's what concerns me when I have so many people. And by the way, I have not read those emails. I just said, boy, you know, don't even want to go there, Stan, because be careful what you ask for. Because if you want to start locking up your neighbors because of their religious faith, rather than, you know, watching them and taking them out if they are about to do harmful and illegal activity, that's one thing. But when you start talking about rounding up people, what is going to stop them from at some point rounding you up? And there seems to be a real lack of foresight of where this could go.
Lay your mind back to pre-Hitler Germany, what happened when they had that terrible depression, where they had inflation that was unbelievable, where people couldn't even afford to buy a stamp to mail a letter to collect their insurance that they'd saved up for years, because the stamp cost more than they could get back their insurance. And then in comes Hitler and the National Socialist Party and saying, look, this is wrong. We're going to have to do something. And in the beginning, people are saying, hey, yeah, let's do something. Let's get rid of the people that are causing trouble. And in that case, they picked Jews and a few other people.
Yeah, convenient target at that time, sure.
Yeah. And I'm sure that this will probably eventually be the Jewish community will again be a target based on what will happen in the Middle East between Israel and Iran. And they'll get the blame for that, and then wherever there's a Jew, they'll be looking for them. But long before that, I'm seeing our problems in here, in that we have a military force that has maybe 10,000 at least stated or observable Islams in service, Muslims in service here. And this is going to make our other soldiers, who are either Christian or just, you know, atheist or whatever, uncomfortable, because they're not going to be sure who they can trust. You know, and it's going to weaken our whole military trust factor that you need to have a good armed service. So already the damage is done. It's just even Look, I hate to see it coming, but it's just one of several facets of a general collapse of the United States. And as I said before, it's going to be an economic one, where economic differences are going to do it, racial differences will do it, religious differences will do it, and you'll have all these kinds of attitudes fighting each other, and they're too young, most of them doing this, to remember what the consequences are. But it's history repeating itself. Rome saw it. Babylon saw it. I mean, the Turkish nation saw it. All the great empires have gone through the same steps as they failed and fell. And we're there now, which is happening so quick that I think it's just catching all of us just unaware. I mean, just it takes your breath away.
Author and publisher Stan Deo is on the program this morning, standeo.com. And, of course, you write a lot on preparedness issues there, too. Earl, do you have a question, comment here for Stan? I think it's an interesting conversation. How do you want to add to it?
Will this work to solve the problem of Islam in America? And that is for the Christians in America to invite their friends, family, and neighbors to church so that the Americans become true Christians, and therefore there won't be any Muslims because we'll all be Christians.
Is that realistic? I mean, I look at the areas around Michigan, very, very strong Muslim convert areas here, Earl. I don't know how realistic that is. Stan, would you comment on what Earl had to say?
I believe that it's a nice idea, but it's impractical at this late date. We're not going to be able to stop the momentum, the impetus of what has happened. We should have done this, Earl, what you're suggesting, 30 years ago. But we started getting kind of fat and lazy, and churches became organized religions and tax deductions, and they became businesses rather than what they should have been doing for the Lord's work.
So, in other words, organized religion sort of bought into the progressive revolution then, didn't it?
Yes, and I'll tell you right now, down in Australia, in Melbourne, sometime in the next 4 weeks, I believe I read, there is a gathering of all the leaders of the world religions, of Buddhism, of Islam, of Christianity. They're trying to make a one-world religion where they iron out the differences to form this one-world faith. And the Catholic Church was the one. I saw the pamphlet. The Catholic Church is the one that's hosting the meeting. So
you have got to be kidding me, Stan. Here it is. We have all of these people in the United States speaking out, quite correctly in my view, fight the one-world government. So what are they going to do, start with the one-world religion?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. That's their answer. They want to form this thing where there are no major differences between the faiths, and so we can all get along in this happy religion versus Christian faith or Jewish faith.
All right, Stan Deo on the program. Hey, Steve, I'd love to get your take on this because we've had some conversations about this with you. You're on with Stan Deo. Good morning.
Hi, Stan. Listen, I'm not saying we should crack down on Muslims. I'm saying we will crack down on Muslims. Because it will be inevitable in a crisis. There's a big difference between what Hitler did and what we did during the Civil War, World War One, and World War Two. First of all, we didn't commit genocide. Second of all, when the crisis is over, all of the dissidents were pardoned, or all the dangerous people.
And released, at least, right.
And the Constitution more or less bounced back, okay?
Thanks for the call, Steve. We appreciate that. Stan, you want to comment on what Steve's deal there?
Oh, I agree. I mean, in the past, it's been that we settled it, but we're now approaching a situation where it won't be healed.
Now, why do you say it won't be? Why do you believe here in your heart that it will not be healed this time?
Well, this time we're approaching a global situation, not just the United States, that is so volatile that this will be part of a spark that will ignite World War III. Armageddon, I suppose, down the road a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not going to be a time for us to heal over here because they're going to rip us apart. External forces like Chinese and Russian forces, and I suppose some help from some Muslim countries as well. But we won't have the time, and I don't think we have the fortitude in this generation that is now growing into power here in this country. We don't have the fortitude in that generation.
What is it? What is the difference in the fortitude of this generation? Are you speaking about the actual age of the leaders or the politicians coming of age, such as the President Obama's?
And the conditioning they've had through television, movies, and books, and the media in general, just the news media that has been kind of very biased toward this one world order that we're looking at. They're not the great generation like my parents were, you know, and Holly's parents. We had parents that were in the Department of Defense and were Army Air Force, you know, commanders and stuff. And, you know, I'm so glad that they aren't alive to see
Stan,
what I'm seeing.
Stan, is that true? And the reason I want to say that sometimes generations rise to the occasion, because what we think of today as the greatest generation, back in the 1920s, during the Roaring Twenties, they were considered to be the flappers, and they were shiftless, and they didn't want to work, and they weren't really good Americans at that point. But it was later on that they proved their mettle.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right. I don't think that we're going to be able to save all of the United States. I think it will fragment into tribes, I guess, like the Indians did years ago or centuries ago. But I think Colorado and the surrounding area will be probably the focus for the majority of Americans who think like you and I do to gather and rebuild if we can survive what hits us. It'll be hard because even the Hopi and the Navajo are going to move up into the Four Corners region when all this settles down. And they say there's going to be a new tribe of man up here in the Four Corners, comprised of Indians of various tribes, you know, the people. And then the Americans who are called the Bahana, the non-Indians, who make it to that area. And they say there will be difficulties in the civilization getting along, and there will be fights and some people get killed. But eventually they see that it will settle down and there will be a new nation here, but it won't be America.
This according to Hopi prophecy and
That's
various
right.
other prophecy right
That's
now.
Right. Yeah, and of course, from Christian viewpoint, or our viewpoint anyway, of the rapture and of the return of the Messiah, we know that there is a period of time coming up called the Great Tribulation, and one which is about 3.5 years, and then prior to that, the kind of tribulation, but not the really hard stuff, is a 3.5 year period, and a total of 7 years. And by estimates on the age of a generation from the time that Israel became a nation in 1948, we are approaching within 18 months the beginning of that period of time, we think. And I say we think, because date setting is a terrible thing. But when you see the world and things happening so rapidly. Ah, and one thing I must say, Bill, I've seen a number of TV evangelists and others who do websites and shows talking about this rapture business and about the One World Order. They're all coming on board after I wrote about it in 1978 and sold 250,000 copies of books about it across the world in 3 languages. And they're now starting to realize that, but I can't get them off of their backsides and do the rest, which is the alien card, the off-worlders that we're going to meet very shortly. And this is going to be what the Bible speaks of as the great deception. It's going to be a ripper. And so I'm rushing to update the Cosmic Conspiracy book now then and release it again. I've had it out of print for a couple of years.
And you see, when you bring up the alien thing all of a sudden to many people, they would probably think that you lose credibility with them at that point.
I'm sure that's why the major evangelists I'm talking about are staying away from it, because that would probably hurt the cash flow in the audience and discredit a lot of what they're saying. I can say it because I don't care. I know what they're I've got the information and how their craft work and you know, why they're doing what they're doing and why God's allowing and all kinds of stuff and how long it's going to last. And so, you know, I just haven't made it clear enough, I don't think, in my writings and talking before. And so, you know, as soon as I get off the show today, I'm going up into the living room there and sit down on the computer, and I'm going to start typing a lot of this stuff in more detail and trying to explain and get it out as quick as I can, because people need to know. They don't want to sign up with what's going to take control of the planet.
Stan, I appreciate you coming on the program this morning, and we'll have to stay a little bit closer. I know you're a frequent guest late nights with George Norrie and such, and always wonderful there. And a lot of folks suggested I give you a call, and I appreciate you making some time. Now,
not a problem.
Once again, Stan Deyo, StanDeyo.com is the main site there, and a lot of interesting information goes on there. And all the best to you, sir. And I hope you're wrong. What do you say?
Okay, Bill, sounds good.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Do you buy, what do you think about what he says, that he believes this Major Hassan incident at Fort Hood? is just a precursor to a greater example of America sort of turning against itself, fighting against itself along racial lines, along religious lines, along political lines, too. Well, we're already seeing that fighting amongst ourselves amidst the religious lines. I'm sorry, the political lines, rather. John ends up writing into me, Bill, it's not time for concentration camps, but it is time to profile. John, I appreciate you writing in there. I have to tell you, there are a lot of emails that I've received since the Major Hassan massacre from last week. People saying time and time again, it's time to round them up, round them up. I haven't really talked much about this because it kind of concerns me. Because today, I mean, I look at the gun control arguments. And remember, every time that there's some form of a shooting, the Brady Bunch comes out and says, well, the first thing we have to do is just round up all the guns and do something to those crazy gun owners, and then we're going to be safe, right? And, of course, I would counter with, listen, all right, the gun didn't commit the crime, the person did the crime, and millions upon millions of people in this country today did not shoot up a school or a public square or a basketball game or, you know, whatever the case might be. As a matter of fact, many millions of people have used those same guns to deter crime, right? And so you have Major Hassan getting in contact here with a radical Muslim cleric, obviously being a devout Muslim. In other words, I'm going to take everything the Quran says and take it quite literally. The intelligence services of our nation know about it. And they're thinking, huh, nothing to look at. Nothing to look at here. He does his evil deed last week. How could Stan not be right that this could be an example of, and so it begins? You start with the Muslims, get the Christians and Jews fighting against one another. You have Israel gets involved, sends the bombing off. And then no longer are we united as a people. Start arguing there. That we already have the liberal versus conservative war. That's been going on for a number of years. I'm not seeing a whole lot of examples of any unitizing force at this point. Just my opinion. 770-563-3770-KMED if you wanted to join in here. Brad writes in about the ladies in black. Mr. Meyer, where are the ladies in black? Maybe I haven't been downtown at the right time of day lately. I haven't seen them in a long time. Does that mean it's okay for Barry to be the commander-in-chief when troops are being killed? It's Wednesday around noon, right? Yeah, Brad. That's going back to my situation there. Yes, it is President Obama's war now, and it's okay. It's okay now because it's a liberal war now. You just have to remember that. It's 8:43, 17 before 9. State Representative Dennis Richardson. Calling in here on the fly there. How are you doing? Welcome.
Doing great. How are things on the radio today? I heard just a little bit of Greg Walden, his interview. That was excellent.
Yeah, and of course, the interview with Stan Deo, that was a wild one.
I've been in my office, and I've got to get a radio up and going. I couldn't hear.
Well, you can listen online, too, you know.
Well, I need to do that.
Okay, very...
I wanted to call and just remind everyone, especially our friends there at KMED, that tomorrow morning at 9:00, Christy Lee Cook is flying in from, I think it's Nashville.
So she is going to be here tomorrow.
Yes, she. That first Capitol record said no. I think it's Capitol that you can't do it because of contract provisions, and she really threw a fit. And this is what her dad said, and so they finally relinquished and said, okay, you can do it. So she's flying, I guess, all night. She'll arrive in Medford tomorrow morning, sing at the 9:00 event at the War Memorial in Central Point. And then a couple of hours later, she flies back.
Well, that is too cool. So originally there was some question about whether her record or American Idol contract would allow her to do that then.
That's right. But
I'm glad they got it figured out.
Yeah, I am too. And what a sacrifice for her to be willing to come and do this. Her dad, Larry, was a Vietnam vet. That's a patriotic family. She was raised that way. She cares about the country and she cares about the community. And she wanted very much to sing at this Veterans Day event. It's going to be less than an hour, so it'll be really compact. Bring families tomorrow morning at 9:00, where Hamrick Road becomes violent there in the new Don Jones Park next to La Clinica.
So the whole crew is going to be out there starting at 9 o'clock. Christy Lee Cook's going to sing. It's going to be real quick, short, but good, right?
Yeah, that's right. We got two excellent speakers, and it'll be about an hour. But it's worthwhile, and we need to bring our kids and our neighbors. It's Veterans Day. It's not just a day off or just another day. We need to honor our vets, alive and those that have given their lives for their country.
Dennis, I'm proud to get you on to talk about it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Take care.
All right. So tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, Christy Lee Cook, American Idol contestant, will be here. Yep, our local girl who made really good. All right, 770-5633 before the news break, which I'm really late for. Sorry about that. Hey, Bob, how are you doing? Good morning.
Just real quick, I wanted to say that it would be great if you could reach Avi Lipkin, get him back on again to give his synopsis of what the Quran really says. I can say it, but I have no credibility.
The thing is, you know, I've read it too. As a matter of fact, I'm going to get, I have the book right here. I've been kind of thumbing through it, and I thought this was a good one. The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran by Robert Spencer. I've been thumbing through that. And I think I'm going to have to get him on here, too. And I've had a lot of guests that have talked about the Quran. Now, what Avi Lipkin says, though, Bob, is that he's more along the line of he believes that Islam at some point will be banned because it is really a merger of state and religion, that it's one and the same, that it is a governmental system, too, and that you can't allow people to practice it within your country unless eventually you want your state of government or your state or your government to fall to it at some point.
Yeah, you're right, except for one thing, political correctness rules here, and we will never do away with Islam in this country because of the strength of political correctness.
I would be very careful, though, for those that would call for the roundup, though. Would you agree?
Because
the same people, you know, from the right that are always talking about, well, you know, at some point, you know, we go too far, President Obama's going to round us up. You know, it's once you start that process, rolling.
Well, once they round,
it's an uncontrollable storm. You know that.
Round up the Muslims, then the next thing they got to do is round up the Jews, and the next thing.
And then they got to round up the religious people that are out there making too much noise. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, that's not an answer. But we still have to defend ourselves in a much stronger way than a lot less. Politically correct way, and we've got to stop giving special privileges to those that want to kill us.
Thank you for the call, Bob. 848, 12 before 9. News Talk AM 1440, KMED. Let's talk with Walter. Hey, Walter, on the flags on Veterans Day. How you doing?
Hi. I just wonder whether you couldn't run a comment on the flags that are flown half-mast on Hedrick School, on the library in Medford, on the Grange Hall in Central Point.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't anybody know that we lost some soldiers at Fort Hood that Obama declared it was supposed to be flown half-mast? The one at my house, I was 6 hours ahead of Obama.
Well, the thing is, the president can declare that. I don't think it's not the law. It's not like he owns the flag, Walter.
That's right, but it doesn't. It's only fair. Most of those organizations, like the school district, the library, and the Grange, have tax dollars involved one way or another. The least they can do is fly the flag half-mast. It's just a comment from me. I think it stinks.
All right, Walter, and I appreciate your call, and thanks for making the comment, too. 11 before 9, News Talk AM 1440 KMED. Quick break, we'll be right back. We'll check the news and more of your calls. More stimulating talk radio, and I appreciate your call, 770-5633. Let's get right to them here. Jeff, thanks for hanging on. You wanted to talk about profiling. You're on the show. Good morning.
Well, morning, Bill. So I'm the board co-chair of the Oregon Diversity Institute in...
The Oregon what now?
Oregon Diversity Institute.
Diversity Institute, okay.
Been around for about 27 years, and we've been fielding a lot of questions on this issue from employers as well as institutions of education. And
And what issue is that, Jeff? Is it about how to hire a Muslim or how not to get in trouble? I mean, what's the story here?
Well, you know, I think the basics, you know, what we focus on is diversity, equity, and civil rights issues. And folks, it seems like folks are overreacting to, you know, this individual's, you know, spirituality or his ethnicity. You know, it's a combination of issues. And, you know, we just want to reassure folks that you don't hold different standards for those incidents or those characteristics in an individual. You hold them to the same standards you hold everybody else to. And in this case, you had performance review standards as well as military standards of conspiring with the enemy as well as insubordination that could have been deployed at any time. And it looks like, you know, up until maybe 3 years ago, they could have started action that would have, you know, possibly made this incident a non-event.
Now,
you know,
Jeff, I am not a politically correct kind of guy, and I have to agree with you. I have to agree that Major Hassan, from what we find out, the longer that we dig into this story, the more we realize that this is a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the military. There are lots of people that drop the ball. We have the intelligence agencies. We have the reviews. We have other. It seems like everybody seemed to know about this, but nobody was going to do anything about it because, well, attacks did not appear to be imminent. Well, wouldn't you think that you would have a higher level of decorum and standard for one of your high-ranking military officers? It does not pass the smell test.
Absolutely. And the last thing you want to do is hold a higher or different standard to any individual within an organization, whether it's private business or a federal agency. That's where you get into reverse discrimination issues and lawsuits. And we respect the rights of, you know, the mainstream folks and everybody else as much as we do, as we want to emphasize the rights of a minority individual. But it doesn't give them extra rights. It just means you have to be more careful of the rights that all of us have and all equity.
It would be like if all of a sudden after Timothy McVeigh's situation, if all of a sudden we say, okay, gun-owning Christians, well, it's obvious that gun-owning Christians, you can't be trusted. So we're going to have to throw you all out of the military. It's not going to work. Jeff, I appreciate your comment. Thank you very much. And let's talk with Andrea. Good morning, Andrea. How are you?
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Fine. Yes, I just wanted to say happy birthday to the Marine Corps. And I'm a proud wife of a Marine.
Well, there's no such thing as an ex-Marine, is there?
No, there's not. Once a Marine, always a Marine.
Yeah, well, it is well said and well done. Thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
All right. Let's have a Jasper's Constitutional Quiz. Oh, no. Oh, Dave? All right, let me just talk to Dave before I do the Jasper's. We will have a Jasper's quiz, so if you want to win the goodies here, line up, 770-5633. Okay, Dave, let's squeeze you in. How you doing?
Well, I want to win the goodies, but I ain't going to play. I just want to tell you that the when I was in the military, the officers were allowed to have guns on base. They were allowed to have their own private weapons on base, in their house, in their birthing space, and the enlisted were not.
So, once again, my analysis of, effectively, we have military slaves, the GIs, that are in there, and we don't want the slaves to ever be able to revolt, so we'll give them guns when we want them to have guns. Other than that, they are disarmed slaves inside the slave master's quarters.
And the Simon Legrees of the crowd, the officers, were allowed to have their own firearms on base inside base housing.
Hmm.
Let me rephrase that. Not on base in housing, but on base in birthing space, military-provided barracks. And on board ship as well. The officers were allowed to have a handgun on board ship, but only the security personnel were allowed to have guns on ship.
All right. Appreciate the call. Thanks for the clarification there, Dave. 770-5633. Dick ends up writing it about that, and he says, Bill, suggestion. Get a GI web belt and holster. Get an imitation automatic, put it in the holster, and wear it everywhere you go for 30 days. At the end of that time, get a dummy rifle, ROTC has them, with a sling, and carry it everywhere you go for 30 days. At the end of the month, you may understand why troops on post do not carry. Dick, I understand, and here's the deal. Does it have to be a GI issue? Many people I know carry concealed quite comfortably 24/7. Sure, it's not a 1911 or a Glock 19, but a soldier should have the option. As is, the military slave is forcibly disarmed by the state slave master. And in anyone's book, I think that is absolutely unconscionable. All right? 8:57, News Talk AM 1440 KMED. Let's have the Jaspers Constitutional Quiz, shall we? Now, Jaspers, of course, today is Taco Tuesday. Four tacos, handmade, $5. Hey, what else can you love there? Fresh hand-pressed hamburgers daily, too, like the Hawaiian Cowboy, too. Serving the Rogue Valley for 33 years. Jaspers, historic Jacksonville, or the legendary Medford. All right, who is our first victim? Of course, we've had a lot of luck here recently in which everybody that's been first has won. Let's go to Chad. Hey, Chad, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I feel lucky. Lucky number one.
You feeling lucky? Okay. The signer of the Declaration of Independence gave two sons to the officer corps of the Revolutionary Army, where they were captured by the British and held in New York Harbor on what became known as the Hell Ship. Now, who was he? Was he Abraham Clark? Was he Thomas Nelson? Was he Edward Rutledge? Or was he William Ellery? Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know any of those names.
Me neither.
Take a guess.
Well, my name's Chad, so I'll go with C.
You're going to go with C, Edward Rutledge, huh? Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
You guys
rigged it.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Quit whining like a liberal. All righty. Let me go over to who do we have on the next slide here. We have, hello, Al. How you doing?
Fine.
All right. Let's see if we can get you some burgers. So we know it's not C, Edward Rutledge. It's Abraham Clark, Thomas Nelson, or William Ellery. What do you say?
William Ellery.
William Ellery. Sorry, you go hungry today. All righty. Let us go to Robert. Hey, Robert, how are you?
Doing pretty good.
All righty. So it's not William Rutledge. Okay, we have Abraham Clark or Thomas Nelson. What do you say?
Clark.
Abraham Clark? Is that your final answer?
Yep.
Congratulations. Abraham Clark of New Jersey. 11,000 captives died on the Hell Ship, ironically known as Jersey. And when the Brits who treated Clark's son with extra brutality asked him one more time to swear allegiance to the king in exchange for his release, with great anguish, he said no. So, boy, really something. We're going to set you up with some Jaspers goodies. And we're also going to include a book from the Bill Meyer Library, too. Okay?
Good deal.
All right. Hang on, sir. 9 o'clock. At KMED, we're going to check the news. Be right back. A few more of your calls and emails, too.
Glenn Beck's The Christmas Sweater.
Didn't even get a chance to chat about this. I blogged yesterday on BillMeyerShow.com about the Gold Ray Dam. I was wondering how the Mail Tribune was going to treat it today. So a hydroelectric revival is the question for today. The option will be studied. The option will be studied. Any comment? The option will be studied. Do you believe that? I think the option will pretend to be studied, but the condition of the powerhouse and government standards make it a long shot, according to county officials. Well, you know, they don't really want hydropower. I'm not saying it would be cheap. I'm not saying that we could even do it right now. But I can assure you, you pull out the Gold Ray Dam, you ain't ever going to do it. And I know the article also indicates that, there's no water right. The county doesn't have a hydroelectric water right. That very well may be true. I believe it's another city in the state that has the hydroelectric power right. So wouldn't it seem wise to at least explore getting the hydroelectric power right? And then we can talk about at least mothballing it or just hanging on? Or oh, no, take the Enviro bribe first. Oh, well, certainly it's a lot easier. I just don't know if it's the right thing to do. We'll talk about it tomorrow.